We have had at Bethaven something that we have, to my knowledge, never had in the 25 years that I've been here. We have more unsaved people, non-Christians, attending our services than ever before. I don't remember a time in which we had a dozen to 15 people that are not Christians that attend our services on a fairly regular basis. I'm very pleased with that. If you're not a Christian and you've been coming, I want you to know I'm very happy that you've been coming. And I pray for you, and our church prays for you. And we want so much to see you saved, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a follower of Him. It's been such a burden on my heart. And occasionally, through the Gospel of John, we've been able to make pleas to you. We've been able to, from the Gospel of John, I suppose more than any other book that I've preached through, we've been able to make many gospel pleas to the sinner. But my heart this morning wants to make a plea to the sinner again. And it won't be intermingled with things to the saved. A lot of times when we go through the Gospel of John, there's a little bit here for the Christian and a little bit for the non-Christian. But I want to do a sermon, full sermon, just for those of you that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you. I love you. I pray for you. And I ask that you would give this sermon your utmost attention. John chapter 5 and verse number 40. Let's look at verse 39. Verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I want to speak on this phrase right here. You will not come to me that you might have life. A little over 2,000 years ago, God, the creator of this world, our maker, sent his only son into our world. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came. He came to seek out those who are lost. Those who are lost in their own sins. And he came not only to seek them out, but he came to save them. To save them from their sins. To save them from the wrath of God. To save them from the punishment of their sins. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not only did he come to save you from the wrath of God and save you from the punishment of your own sin, but the Bible says that he came to give you and I life. He came to give us life. In our text, the Bible says, you will not come to me that I might give you life. This life he came to give is, it's free. It's a free life. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, the consequence of sin is death. But the gift The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The life that Jesus Christ wants to give you is a free life. It's a gift from Him to you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." So 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son into this world that He might seek people that are lost and seek people that are sinners, and that he might save them, and that He might protect them from the wrath of God, and that He might forgive them of their sins. He came to give us life, free life, a gift from God to us. Not only is it free, but it is a full life. It is the best life that you could ever live. The Bible says in John 10 and verse number 10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The life that you are living right now, my sinner friend, the life that you're living for yourself has an emptiness to it. Now you might not agree with me out loud, you might not admit that, but in your soul, in your heart, right now in your mind, you know that if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are not a lover of God, if you are not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must admit, at least within sight of yourself, that your life has an emptiness to it. There's something missing. There's a void in your life. There's an emptiness, a void that you can't seem to fill. The only thing that'll fill that void and make your life full and make your life complete and make your life abundant is Jesus Christ, God's Son. He's the only person, the only thing, if you will, that will fill that void and that emptiness in your life. It is not only free to you as a gift from God, but it is a full, abundant life. It'll take away that emptiness that you feel, that void. I saw my youngest granddaughter. Of course, you know, when it's your own kids and your own grandchildren, you think they're so advanced. And everything that little Lolo does is so advanced. She reads books. She's 6 months old. She reads books. 5 months old. See? I told you she was advanced. And I saw a video of her the other day. She was sitting up and she had one of those little boxes that have the different shaped holes, the triangle, the circle, the square, the rectangle, the star. And then you have the plastic pieces and you pick them up and put them in that hole. And that plastic piece will only fit in that certain hole. And of course, I sat with bated breath thinking that she was going to do that. She's not quite that advanced, but you have in you, my friend, my sinner friend, my friend who does not know Jesus Christ, you have in you a hole, a void, an emptiness, and it's a certain shape. And you can try to put everything in there, but the only thing that'll fit it, and the only thing that'll fill it, is Jesus Christ. You can dump everything else in that hole, and it'll never fill it. It'll never fill it. The only thing that'll fill it is Jesus Christ. This life that He wants to give you. I said He came to seek those that are lost. He came to save those that are lost, to save you from the wrath of God and save you from the punishment of your own sins. He came to give you a life that is free and a life that is full. And He came to give you a life that is forever. John 3:16, eternal life, or everlasting life, it says. The verse before it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:15 and 16 both talk about perishing versus eternal life. Perishing versus everlasting life. And Jesus Christ died on Calvary so that you would not have to pay for your own sins. And he died so that you might have eternal life and so that you might not perish. Die in your sins and go to hell. It's a forever life. Jesus came to seek and to save those lost in sin. He came to give them a free, full, and a forever life. He did this by suffering and dying for our sins on a cross. I don't know, my friend, how much you know about the story of Jesus on the cross, but he went there purposefully. He went there on purpose, and he went there to suffer and die for sins, not his own sins. Oh, the scripture makes it abundantly clear, and historical figures made it abundantly clear. They could find no fault in Jesus Christ. There was no fault at all. But he died on Calvary for my faults and yours, my sins and yours. He did this by taking our place of punishment. He did this by stepping between God and us and taking the full force of God's wrath that was meant for us. You ever seen a fight in progress? A third party steps in between, just as a haymaker's thrown. And the third party, the innocent party, the bystanding party, trying to protect, gets clocked. Jesus Christ, innocent as they come, holy and harmless, Son of God, stepped in between God and you and took the full brunt of God's wrath. The wrath of God that should have been reserved for you and for me because of our sins, because of our trespasses, because we have rebelled against God and we have committed sins against God and broken the law of God, and the wrath of God, the full force of the wrath of God Almighty should come upon us. And Jesus Christ stepped between God and us and took the wrath of his Father on Calvary. The Bible says in Romans 5:6 that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ did not die for good people. He died for bad people. Very bad people. In fact, the Bible says he didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinner. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He bare our sins. The sins that you have committed. Not only yesterday and all of last week and all of last month and all of last year, but the sins that you have committed your whole lifetime, Jesus Christ bare those sins in his own body. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded. Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was wounded and bruised and chastised for us. 1 John 4:10, the writer tells us, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, His Son took the wrath that was meant for you. Jesus died in our place. Jesus paid our sin debt. He took upon Himself the wrath of God meant for us. And yet, you will not come to Him in repentance. He died in your place. He paid your sin debt. He took upon Himself the wrath of God that was meant for you. And yet you will not come to Him in faith. You will not come to Him believing in Him. You will not come that you might have abundant life. You will not come that you might have eternal life. You will not come, even though He died for you. You will not come. See, our text, John 5:40, explains why men and women in this very room are not followers of Jesus Christ. It explains why they are still trying to fill that emptiness with different things and different people. Our text, John 5:40, explains why people in this room are still lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. John 5:40 explains why men and women in this very room this morning, under the sound of my voice, are still living in unrepentant sin. The answer is they will not come to Jesus. They refuse to come to Jesus for eternal life. They refuse to come to Jesus for forgiveness, for mercy. Why would anyone refuse to come to Jesus for forgiveness? Why would anybody refuse to come to Jesus for mercy? Why are men and women in this room still lost? And by lost, I mean, when I say lost, I mean aimlessly trudging through this life with no real meaning, and aimlessly trudging through this life with no real purpose. When I say lost, I mean walking through this life with a huge emptiness and a huge void that you cannot fill. When I say lost, you are lost. I mean, you're trying to find peace. You're trying to find joy. You're trying to find satisfaction and contentment and happiness, and you just can't find it. You're wandering through this life lost. Lost. Can't find peace. Can't find satisfaction. Can't find contentment. Can't find a lasting happiness. Can't fill that emptiness. No real meaning, no real purpose. Lost. Lost. Let me say this. You're not lost because God wants you to be. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I tell you right now this morning, on the authority of God's word, He wants you to come to Him in repentance. He does not want you to perish. And perish means to go to hell and pay for eternity for your life of sin. And He does not want that for you. But that will be your end, and that will be your demise if you don't come to Him. You're not wandering through this life lost because God wants you to be lost. You're wandering through this life lost because you refuse to come to Jesus. You're not lost because your sins are too great. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ came into the world to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul felt that for himself, he was the chiefest of all sinners. The Apostle Paul felt for himself that he was the worst sinner that mankind had ever seen. And he lets you know that Christ came into the world to save chief sinners. Christ came into the world to save those whose lives are steeped and sodden with sin. Romans 5:20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My friend, it matters not how high your sins have piled up. It matters not if your daily sins for the length and breadth of your life were piled on one on another and reached into the heavens. It matters not, because the grace of God can go over top of those of your sins. You can't sin too much that God can't forgive. The grace of God can cover anything you've done. The mercy and forgiveness of God can take care of anything you have done. The worst thing that you have done, there's grace to cover that. You're not wandering through this life lost because your sins are too great. You're wandering, my friend, through this life lost because you refuse to come to Christ. So says our text. You're not wandering through this life lost because salvation is so complicated. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Salvation's not too complicated. That's not why you're still lost. Just look to Jesus. This is illustrated in, I believe it is the book of Numbers, chapter 21. The nation of Israel had been complaining about the food that God provided. Years and years and years ago, we sat down and my boys started complaining about what their mother had put before them. And it was one time too many. They'd done it before. They learned it. I won't tell you who they learned that from. The mother said, all right, I'm done cooking for you boys for a week. You are on your own all three meals. But what about Dad? Dad said it too. I have to cook for your dad. I'm his wife. I have to do that, but I do not have to cook for you boys. Oh, a couple of days in, they were writing letters of apology to their mother. Israel was complaining about what God was feeding them, and God sent into their camp poisonous snakes that bit them. And they began to die. And as they began one after another to die and to perish from these snake bites, they cried out to God for forgiveness. And God told Moses, take brass and make a brass serpent, a brazen snake. Fashion a snake out of brass, attach it to a pole, and lift it high into the air. And it will be that whosoever looks at that serpent on the pole, lifted up, will be healed and will live. And they lifted that brazen serpent high on that pole so all of the camp of Israel could see it. And anyone that was bit and dying, all they had to do was turn their eyes to that brass snake on the pole, and they were healed and they lived. That is a picture of you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been bitten by sin and are dying in your sins, and Jesus Christ was put on a tree and lifted between heaven and hell and died for you. And all you have to do, my friend, is look to Jesus and live. That's how easy salvation is looking to Jesus Christ in faith and belief. Just look to him. Quit looking at everything else in this world to fill that emptiness and void. Look to Jesus, my friend. Look to Jesus. Some of you have wasted so much time, energy, and money looking to other things to try to find happiness and peace and contentment and trying to fill that void, when all you need to do for free is look to Jesus Christ and believe upon him and trust in him. You're not wandering through life lost because becoming a Christian is too complicated. You're wandering through life lost because you refuse to look to Jesus. Any other excuse you give as to why you do not really love God and why you do not follow Jesus Christ is just an excuse. It's really because you refuse to look. It's really because you refuse to come to Christ in faith, believing him, and in repentance, sorry for your sin. And that brings me to the conclusion. You are refusing because you love your sin. You'd rather enjoy the short-term pleasure of sin. And sin does have pleasure, but it is short-term. The Bible talks about the pleasure of sin for a season. Listen. Sin has pleasure, or else people wouldn't be doing it. But its pleasure is short. And you'd rather have the short, brief pleasure of sin and trudge through life with the guilt of that sin, and trudge through life with the consequence of that sin. You'd rather enjoy your short burst of sin than come to Jesus. That's a fact. In this room, there's someone who would rather enjoy things they know that God would be against. They know the Bible speaks against. Things they know in their heart and mind are wrong, and you'd rather continue to do those things than come to Jesus. You refuse to come to Jesus because you love your money. You think that as long as you have money, you can buy everything in this life that you need. And as long as you can buy everything in this life that you need, you don't need Jesus. I know what I'm talking about. I know people have said, I've got everything I need, I don't need Jesus. And you are in love with your money, and you think that your money is going to buy you happiness, it's going to buy you the latest thing to numb your conscience and numb your pain and make you forget about that emptiness in your life. Do I have to tell you that money fly? The Bible says money grows wings and flies away. The world knows that. Just go to Google image search and type in money and wings, and there'll be no shortage of images with a dollar bill with wings. Everybody knows that you can have money today and be broke tomorrow, bankrupt tomorrow. If you're here today trusting and loving your money and all that it does for you, my friend, you need to understand that tomorrow you could be bankrupt. Amen. And not only that, but if you even maintain your money and are able to keep your money for any length of time, money cannot buy you peace. And it cannot buy you joy, and it cannot buy you contentment. Be honest with me this morning. Be honest with me this morning. You see that thing you've got to have. You have to have it. You must have it. And you buy it. Be honest now. Weeks, maybe months, and it bores you. It no longer excites you. Your kids scream and holler and jump up and down to the back of the cart because they want that toy. And you buy it for them. And listen to me, that evening, they're playing in the box. They've said, money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. You don't come to Jesus because you love your money. And you think that it can buy you whatever you need. Money's no good in eternity. People normally don't take their checkbooks in the coffin. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You refuse to come to Jesus because you might lose your friends when they find out. You refuse to come to Jesus because if your friends find out, they might leave you. Can I tell you something? A true friend wants the best for you. Not just the best for you financially and the best for you physically and the best for you emotionally. But a true bona fide friend wants the best for you spiritually. If you have a friend that doesn't want the best for you spiritually, that person is not your friend. In fact, they are a danger to you. You refuse to come to Jesus because of your love of sin. You refuse to come to Jesus because of your love of money. You refuse to come to Jesus because your friends might forsake you when they find out. You refuse to come to Jesus because of your pride. Your pride keeps you. It keeps you, it stops you from humbly bowing your knee. Your pride stops you from humbly bowing your head and admitting to God that you're not all that. Your pride keeps you from bowing your knee and bowing your head and humbly before God, admitting to God, okay, I'm not all that. Your pride keeps you from admitting that indeed you're miserable. Your pride keeps you from admitting you're hopeless. And your pride keeps you from admitting that you are a wicked man or a wicked woman. Your pride right now is telling you you're not that bad. That's what your pride, right now, your pride is telling you you're not that bad. That preacher's up there talking about sin and being lost and going to hell. But listen, I'm not that bad. Your pride is telling you that right now. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, if you break the law of God in one point, in one place, just one time break one law of God, you're guilty of breaking the whole law of God. I illustrate this way, and it might seem silly, but I've illustrated this way for years. The interstate speed limit is 70. There's not hardly a person in here that thinks twice about going 71, 72, 73. We all say, oh, the cops don't pull you over till 76, 77. But the truth is, if you were pulled over for going 71, you're guilty. You've broke the law. And whatever fines and penalties have been designated by the law can come down on you and would be justified. Oh, you would scream and squeal. Oh, you would pitch a fit. You would hate cops. You'd talk bad about them. You would. 71. He pulled me over doing 71. And he had the audacity to give me a ticket. I was going 71. You broke the law. You say, that's silly. Oh, it perfectly illustrates what I'm saying. Your pride is telling you, I'm not that bad. But if you break one of God's laws only one time, you're guilty. You're guilty. You can either beat back your pride and bow your head and knees today and call upon Jesus to forgive you and to save you. You can beat back your pride and bow your head and your knees today and ask Jesus to give you free, full, and forever life and to forgive you of all your sins. Or you'll be forced one day to bow at the judgment seat of Christ before you are cast into hell to pay for your own sins. You either beat back your pride and bow before Christ today, or you'll be forced to bow before him at the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14, 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. My friend, and I, listen, I don't say that lightly. I'm not being frivolous here this morning. I'm being serious. You all are my friends and I love you and I pray for you. It is far better for you to beat back your pride and to humble yourself before your Maker and bow your head and bow your knees and ask Him for forgiveness of all of your sin and ask Him for that free and full life than to be forced to bow before Him at the judgment seat. Because one way or another, you will bow before your Maker. Are you one who has been refusing to come to Jesus? Won't you bow before Him today? Won't you confess your sins and repent of those sins? Won't you put your faith and trust in the One who came to give you life? The reason you're not saved today is because you refuse to come to Jesus. Stop refusing and come to Jesus Christ today. May God bless the teaching and preaching of His word, and may God bless His little flock at Bethaven. Let's pray.